Today is taken out of the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers. In this chapter we have God commanding Moses to send out men to search out the land of Canaan. We find then the children of Israel on the border of the land of Canaan. And this land which had been promised unto them by God himself, this land of which they had heard so much, that it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. And God commanded him to take one man out of each tribe of the land, of the tribes of Israel, and send them together to view this land. And we find Moses at the commandment of God choosing 12 rulers who were heads over the tribes of the Israelites and sending them out from the wilderness of Paran to view this wonderful country which they were to possess and which God had promised unto them. We have then here, similar to what takes place with every living soul, many souls just born again, just given by the grace of God to be on the way to this heavenly Canaan, are given likewise sometimes also to view this wonderful land, the land of Canaan in heaven above. They are given sometimes to view the beauties of Christ. He is revealed unto their souls. And they are ravished with the sight of this precious Christ. Oh, they long to possess this Christ. This is what they need, Jesus. And all when they see something of his beauty and something of his excellency, oh, they fall on their knees and say, oh, give me this Jesus, give me this Jesus, and I will possess everything. And when they are pleased sometimes to be in secret with God themselves, it is sometimes with them as if they are in a trance. They don't know just where they are. God lifts them up above all things here below and gives them to view the beauties of this heavenly Canaan to which they are traveling. All when they are brought into this state, my hearers, they are beyond the reach of Satan, of sin, and of this world, and of all unbelief. All they are looking into that promised land, that God sure will bring them into that. Oh, what a wonderful thing this is, my hearers, to experience in our lives. This giving and hearing certain things which, as Paul says, he would not dare speak to other people about. God has promised unto his dear children that they shall see the king in his beauty and behold the land which is afar off. And he does fulfill this, especially in the beginning of their spiritual travels towards Canaan, heaven above. And my hearers, have you ever been at the border of this heavenly Canaan? Has God ever visited you in this way and given you to taste something of this wonderful place called heaven? Oh, my hearers, oh, what a delight it is when God grants us such a visit in this life. Why, when a soul is brought here, it would like to depart. It would not want to be with Christ. It would like that the clay tabernacle would fall apart, that they would die and that they would go home and be there. And you may surely believe that these Israelites on the border of this Canaan, this earthly Canaan, they likewise were talking with each other very much. They were saying probably, I wonder how big this land is. I wonder what's in this land. I wonder if it's true what God has said about this country, that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. I wonder what kind of people live in this land. I wonder if they live in cities, whether they live in houses, whether they live in tents, and how many people there are in this land. All these things the children of Israel were surely speaking about. And according to the commentary says that the children of Israel went up to Moses and demanded of him that he would send these men out to search the land. And God consented and said unto Moses that he should do so. And we find that these men then, they left the camp of the Israelites, and they went into this land, the land of Canaan. And they went up to the south part of the land, and then they went down and viewed so much of this country. Now, this country, according to the commentary, is 180 miles long and about 80 miles wide. Several men have been in this country, and they have said, if we could live here secure, this would be the most delightful place in the world to dwell. For this country is rich in many things, and the aroma of this country is so wonderful. All the herbs and all the trees and all the flowers that grow in this country, they give such a wonderful odor that it's a delightful smell even in the country. And some man has says that it is as a field that the Lord hath blessed. Truly, it is as God himself has said. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. And now these men in their travels, they came to the place called Hebron. This city was built 7 years before the city of Zoan in Egypt. This is one of the most ancient cities that still exist, Hebron. This place where these spies came to, they noticed that there were people dwelling there that were of gigantic stature, the children of Anak. Some men say that these men were about 12, 14 foot tall, but others say that's impossible. That would be against the laws of gravity. But most of them say that they were about 9 foot. These men then, descendants from a certain giant, they were immense. And when these spies seen these tall people and such robust creatures and such fierce-looking creatures, why, they seemed to be as grasshoppers in their sight. They became afraid of them kind of people. And now they've traveled a little further, and they came to a brook. And alongside of this brook, they found some grapes growing. And there was such a great bunch of grapes growing on one of the branches that they cut it down. Moses had said, now when you come back, bring from the fruit of the land and let us know how wide it is and how large it is and whether it's fat or whether it's lean. And all these questions Moses had put to them. So here now they cut down this great bunch of grapes. Why, it was so large that one man couldn't even carry it. So they bore it on a staff. Two men carried this bunch of grapes. And now they returned back after viewing this land. 40 days they had been in the land. And now they're returning back to Moses and to the camp of the Israelites. You may be sure that the people of the Israelites were wondering where these spies stayed. 40 days was a long time to be gone. They probably thought maybe they were taken prisoner, maybe they'd never see him anymore. But lo and behold, here the whole 12 of them, they all come back, every one of them. Not one of them was taken or captured or killed, and they all came back. You know, being a spy isn't a very good position. We have men, young men sometimes, that are trained to be this, and they're sent out too into the enemy's countries. And you know, if you're caught, why, it's your life. There's no question about it. And now these men, they were safe. They were carried by God through this country and came back to the camp. And all you may see all these people flocking around, these 12 men. They all ran to them. They seen them coming. All they wanted to know what kind of a land it was, how many people lived in it, and what grew there, and everything of such things. And now these people, of course, they were questioning these 12 men until they came to Moses and to Aaron. And when they came to them, they explained to Moses and Aaron just what kind of a land it was. They had went through it, they said, and truly it was a land, just as the Lord had said, which flowed with milk and honey. And as they began to describe this land unto the people, they also began to describe the inhabitants. And they said, we seen there the children of the Amorites. And oh, they were such great, tall, fierce men. We were in their sight as grasshoppers, they said. And all the cities that they had, they were walled and they were so strong. And all the people, there were so many of them in there, and they were well strengthened to fight any number of armies that would come up against them. Now this is the way the spies began to talk to the children of Israel. Now they, in their speaking this way, discouraged the children of Israel. Now they got a wrong impression concerning the country which God had promised them and was going to give them. The two of the men, Caleb and Joshua, who also were spies, they spake entirely different. But 10 of them, they gave such a wrong impression that soon the children of Israel, they received a report from these spies, and not in faith, but in unbelief. Oh, they didn't receive what these spies said, that the land was as God had said it was. But they looked at these giants, and they looked at these cities which were walled and strong, and they looked at the people that dwelt in there. And all they began to talk with each other, and they said, we'll never be able to get into that land. Never. Oh, they began to murmur and complain with each other, and all they began to talk. And you know, when you talk like this, well, you don't need many companions. Soon it's gone like wildfire. And soon all the people, they began to murmur and they began to complain. And while they were murmuring and complaining, we find Caleb. He stood up and he quieted the people. And he said unto them, listen, he says, this is a good land. And now if the Lord delight in us, he surely will bring us into it. Come, we are well able to go up into it and well able to take it, for God is with us, God is in the midst of us, and these people, they are wicked creatures. They have no God like we have to go with us. Come, let us go up and enter into the land. But they did not listen to Caleb. They listened to these other spies. And they would not receive the good report that Caleb brought. Why, for Caleb, these walls were nothing. These giants were nothing. Why, my hearers, if you got faith and exercise, why, there isn't anything that's in the way then. You look over the top of everything, you see that great God, he's with you. Oh, what would you fear if God is with you? God was with Caleb. God gave him faith to speak unto these people. But these people, they believed the false report, the evil report, and not the report that Caleb gave. Is it any different today? God comes with his message to you, my hearers. God sends his servants to us, and they come with a good report. Oh, they come to warn you against your sins, against your unbelief. They come to plead with you that you will return unto God, and that you will strive to enter into this glorious land in heaven above. And how do you receive that report? Just like the children of Israel. You begin to talk with each other and you say, oh, that's not for me. No. There's no use me trying to enter into that land. I'm not an elect vessel. I'm not one chosen by God. I'll never get there. You talk like that? And you talk just like these Israelites. You don't believe the report that the messengers bring. Oh, my hearers, so often these messengers are gifted with the Spirit of God and plead in his name that sinners would return. And they are what? They're treated just like Caleb, treated just like Joshua were. Why, in the next chapter, they were ready to stone him. And how many messengers of God have not been stoned? How many have not been killed? And why? For the good that they wanted to do in pleading with sinners to return back to God from whom they have gone away in Adam, their covenant head. And now these people, these Israelites, they were murmuring and complaining. Oh, they didn't agree at all with the message that Caleb had said. And then we find them the next chapter, in the beginning of that chapter, we find them all crying and weeping. Why, you would think that they all would have went on their knees, wouldn't you? Didn't they have a promise that that land was for them? You would have thought they all would have went to their tents and they all would have got on their knees and said, oh, Lord, this is what the spies told us. And now you told us that we're going to have this land. This is the land you promised us. And now won't you open the way for us to go into this land? Did they do that? Oh, no. They didn't go on their knees. They didn't cry to God. No, they were crying because they were discontented. They were murmuring. They were complaining because some men had told them the truth and others had told them an evil thing. And they believed the evil report and not the good report. And so we find them so united together in unbelief, they said to each other, what's the use? Why did God bring us up out of the land of Egypt? Why didn't he leave us in the land of Egypt and let us die there? Or why didn't we die in this wilderness? Why did the Lord bring us here to the border of this land? Why, just to kill us, to slay us, and our wives and our children will be a prey for these Canaanites? And so these people were murmuring, discontented, and they were ready to choose a captain and ready to go back to the land of Egypt. What would have happened to them? Do you think that the cloud would have went with them? Do you think that the manna would have followed them if they went back to the land of Egypt? You think God would have went with them? Of course not. And this was all in anger, all in unbelief. And now Moses and Aaron, when they heard these people talking like that and complaining like that, they fell on their faces before the multitude. They began to pray to God that God would subdue these murmurers and that he wouldn't visit them in his wrath and in his anger. And we find Caleb and Joshua, the two spies, who also went into the land speaking again unto the people and telling them that it was a good land, exceedingly good, they said, and if the Lord delight in us, he surely will bring us into that land, and we have nothing to fear. These people have no defense. They're bread for us. But what did the people do? Did they listen to them? No. We find the people reaching down to get stones. They're ready to stone Caleb and Joshua, the servants of God. And as they were just ready to stone them, we find that God came down. God appeared in the cloud over the tabernacle. It must have been by lightning. It must have been by some sign. For all the people seen that God appeared. And immediately they were quiet. Immediately they were filled with fear, filled with terror. They knew not what God was going to do. And now we find that Joshua and Caleb, these two men, they were of an altogether different spirit than the other 10 men. This teaches us an important lesson, my hearers. So important, because there are so few that are on the narrow way which leadeth to everlasting life. Or there are so few that are true, that are honest, that are sincere. It is only those that are made so by the Spirit of God. These men, they had the Spirit within them. And they testified truthfully and uprightly. And oh, what were they going to do with them? They were going to stone them. Had not God appeared, they sure would have been stoned to death. Think of Stephen. He likewise was a true witness for God. And he was stoned to death by the Jews. And many of the servants of God have experienced martyrdom in this way. And now we find that when God appeared, it appears as Moses went back to the tabernacle to talk with God. And now God came down and spake unto Moses. And he says unto Moses, Moses, let me take these people away. Let me visit them with the pestilence. Let me destroy them all. And I will make of you a great nation and better than they. Oh, this was something that was more or less a tempting of Moses in this respect. Oh, God was so angry. He wanted to visit them with pestilence and destroy every one of them. And then he says to Moses, I'll make of you a great nation. Now, you know, if Moses had probably been in that position where we talked about before, where he didn't want to go any further and didn't want to be the leader of these people any longer, well, then he might have consented to what God had said. But we find Moses, he was a faithful servant, faithful to the calling that God had placed him in. And he had such love for these people. Oh, we find Moses as an intercessor, or as an example of that glorious intercessor at the right hand of God. We find Moses drawing nigh unto God. He wasn't seeking his own honor. Oh, no. Moses, he loved God. And he began to think, suppose now God did destroy all these people. Oh, what would the Egyptians say? These Egyptians, they had spies in and amongst the Israelites. There was always communication between Egypt and these Israelites that were traveling. And what now would these Egyptians say if God done something like that? Oh, they would say God wasn't able to bring these people into the land that he promised them. He only brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. And oh, Moses, he wouldn't want God to be spoken of in this way by the Egyptians. Oh, he loved God. He pleaded with God for his honor and for his glory. Oh, what would the people say? That God only brought these people out to destroy them and not to bring them into the land of Canaan. And then Moses begins to pray unto God. And he says to the Lord, pardon the iniquity of these people as thou hast pardoned from when thou hast brought them out of the land of Egypt. Oh, he says to God, thou hast said that thou art a long-suffering God and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and pardoning transgression. And, oh, Lord, forgive these people, pardon them. And immediately God spake and said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Oh, my hearers, oh, what a wonderful thing this was. Oh, I'm thinking, if God is so wonderful in being so long-suffering, in being so great of mercy, and so willing to forgive such a great nation who had sinned so against him, then shouldn't it bring you and I to him? Are we any better than these Israelites? Are we not a rebellious people? And oh, God forgave their iniquity according as Moses interceded for them. Oh, let you and I draw nigh to the same God. Oh, let us bring before him his own words. Moses had been in the cleft of the rock, and God had passed by him and had said unto him, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering, forgiving iniquity and pardoning transgression. And Moses remembered it. Have you any word that you can remember that God brought home to you? Have you something that he gave unto you that you could plead upon? Oh, what a wonderful word this is. May you not go to the same God and say, Lord, you've been so long suffering with me, such a sinner like me. And Lord, you are of such great mercy. Wilt thou not pardon such a sinner like me? Wilt thou not forgive, Lord? Oh, may I entreat you to go to him. May you take hold of this precious word and promise. And may you find that as he gave unto Moses the assurance that he had pardoned, so may you hear it out of his own lips. Ah, may he say to you, I have pardoned according to thy word. What a blessing that would be for your immortal souls. Oh, my hearers, I'm thinking about Moses. Oh, what a wonderful man he was. They were ready to stone him. They were ready to slay him, and Joshua and Caleb. And what do we find him doing? He's praying for the enemies. He's praying for those that despitefully use him. Oh, how different was the spirit of Moses and of these two men than the spirit of the children of Israel. And now God speaks unto Moses and says unto him, I have pardoned according to thy word, but all the earth shall be filled with my glory. And now God pronounces what he's going to do with these people. Oh, these people, they would have to go back. They could not now enter into the land of Canaan. He would not let them enter into the land of Canaan. He said, tell them to go back to the Red Sea. And every one of them from 20 years old and upward shall die in this wilderness. And they wished that they had died. They said unto me, why did we not die? So now their carcasses shall fall into wilderness. And their children, their posterity, them I will bring in, save Caleb and Joshua, who were true men, who had his spirit within them. Everyone else would fall in this wilderness. Oh, what an awful thing this was, my hearers. Oh, what a judgment God spoke out upon these people. For every day that these spies had went into the land, 40 days, for each day they would be a year longer in this wilderness, in the wilderness of Paran, a place where nothing grew, where everything was rocky and sandy. They would have to travel through that 40 years. And now, my hearers, these people, when God spake this way to them, oh, they seen that they had been sinners in God's sight. And they returned unto Moses, and they said, "We have sinned," they said to Moses, "and we will go up into the land." And now Moses says, "Don't you dare attempt to go up into the land, because God is not with you. God will not go with you. God is against you. The enemies are waiting for you. If you go up into that land, you will be destroyed. You will have to flee before your enemies." Again, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen to Moses' word. They wouldn't listen to God either. And they got together and they attempted to go up into the land. And the Amalekites came out and they had to flee before them. Oh, there were many of them that were slain. And now, my hearers, we find that God visited these 10 men that brought up an evil report. All those 10 men, they immediately fell down dead before the congregation of the Israelites. God speaks so clearly, so distinctly, that those men had not brought up a true report as Caleb and Joshua did. And all my hearers, what an awful thing it is to be as these 10 men. There are so many that attempt to bring up a good report, but they have never been anointed by the Spirit of God. They attempt to lead other people, but they and the people that they lead will most certainly be destroyed. Oh, what an awful thing, my hearers, to be such a person as these 10 men were. Oh, may we, in God's grace and goodness, be given a leader like Caleb, like Joshua, who had the Spirit of God and who spake truthfully, uprightly to the people. For truly, my hearers, we find that this Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he was blessed by God himself. For he was given to enter into this promised land. And when he did enter into that land, then he received a portion of that land. And he likewise chose to dwell where these giants lived round about Hebron. And where it was impregnable and he couldn't get into that country, then he made an offer and he said, those that would enter into that country, the man that would lead the army, if he took it, he would give his daughter to him as a wife. And we find that Aksa, his daughter, was given to Othniel, his nephew, who entered and who took this land. It was at this time that many of these giants were destroyed, this gigantic race of people, the Anaks. And Joshua, he destroyed so many of them, and he caused them to flee into the land of the Philistines. And we find that even in the time of David, there were some still living, Goliath of Gath and others. And then David and his army, he destroyed this race that they were no more upon the face of the earth. And now, my hearers, I've been speaking to you about the children of Israel. They're coming to the border of the land of Canaan and then showing their unbelief and not believing the report. And all my hearers, does this happen spiritually? Does this happen with newborn souls, that they are given to see something of the beauty of Christ and to see something of the beauty of heaven, and then to be robbed of this by unbelief, and then to be sent back into the wilderness to wander there for a long time, yea, to die to everything where they thought that they would be saved by, most assuredly, my hearers. Oh, many a poor child of God has to wander in the wilderness until he dies, and that is spiritually, to all help of himself, so that he may be the fit subject that Christ may save his soul. And all, some have to wander a long time. Some have to wander to the day that they come to die. Others, my hearers, are given in this life yet to find that Christ is mighty and able to save them, where they had been given to taste something of this heavenly Canaan in their life. And at times it was so far gone that they thought there never would anything come of it. But God remembers his people. He's faithful to his word and to his promises. And now these people, the Israelites, they must travel through this wilderness 40 years. Oh, it often happens in spiritual way that some of God's dear children, they are brought to that place where their sins are pardoned, where they are reconciled with God and they find peace with him. And when such a person receives these blessings, why, he thinks that he is through it all, and that only now one step and he'll be in heaven. And then usually God's people shake hands with each other and they say, welcome in the strife. 40 years sometimes they have to go through the wilderness. They can look back, they remember what happened, it was so sweet, it was so good, but it seems as if it was a dream. Oh, what they experience, my hearers, in this wilderness. Oh, this is a wilderness that teaches them that they are to be saved by grace and grace only. Oh, may God teach you and me, my hearers, what this most important lesson is, to be saved by God alone. I conclude this lesson with this word. The Lord bless the feeble message this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all for today.